أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وإن خفتم ألا تقسطوا في اليتامى فانكحوا ما طاب لكم من النساء مثنى وثلاث ورباع فإن خفتم ألا تعدلوا فواحدة أو ما ملكت أيمانكم ذلك أدنى ألا تعولوا. And if you fear that you will not be able to practice justice in the orphans, then marry a woman of your choice, 2, 3, and 4. And if you fear that you will not be able to deal justly with them all, then marry just one or your slaves. This is more suitable to prevent you from being unjust. In the days of ignorance, the number of women a man could marry was unrestricted. As a result, the rights of women used to be abused. They were not dealt with justly. A man dies leaving behind his widow and his children, then they would be part of the inherited property. The survivor or the next of kin, he would take all that under his custody. If he's happy with one of those orphan girls, he will marry them to himself or to his child, and he will deprive them of their rights, wealth, etc. In so doing, he would take unrestricted amount of women in his marriage, then don't deal with them correctly and don't practice equality with them. So Allah Ta'ala says that if you fear that you will not be able to deal justly with orphans, marrying orphans, then these are not the only women, then marry other women of your choice. You want to marry them, then you want to rob them of their wealth, then you aren't dealing with them justly, then why all these problems? And why are you going into this type of difficulty? Rather, marry other women of your choice, whose rights you will then respect. You will not extort them, you will not exploit them. So marry other women, whether it's 2 women or 3 women or 4 women. But this is provided that you deal justly with them. And if you fear that you will not be able to do justice with them, then marry just one woman or your slave woman. This is more suitable for you. It will prevent you from dealing unjustly. Every divine religion had recognized polygamous marriages, be it Christianity, Judaism, the religions before, even Hinduism. Each religion had recognized polygamous marriages, and they knew that this was something that was human, it was natural, that some men have more needs than others. When there is a greater need in one person than others, then he needs to vent his feelings. So therefore, all divine religions had recognized polygamous marriage. Islam also recognized it. And then we see the Anbiya alayhi salam had married several women as well. But when the Western secular godless law began to prevail, then they prohibited this, made it like a serious crime. To marry more than one woman became a very, very serious crime. Now obviously, when you're going to prevent something that is natural, then you will have unnatural behavior. The laws also will become unnatural. It will be made up thereafter. So when they had prohibited this polygamous marriages, as a result of all this, they had to recognize prostitution, gay rights, lesbian rights, etc., bisexuals, and a whole host of illicit relationships, shameless. We don't even want to talk about these things here, but they had to not only recognize them, but give them greater rights than the rights of married men, people living in marital homes, with respect and honor. Their rights are somewhat lesser than people that enter into a gay relationship or prostitution, etc., they have greater rights. So as though that became the law, and this is just permissible. So from every level, this began to become encouraged. If you have an international conference, then you'll have this type of woman, and it won't be surprising where the dailies will tell you that in this international conference, they had run out of condoms. Now, what a shameless and what an animal behavior. Nobody feels anything about it. Nobody bats an eye. Then when it is an unnatural behavior, then you will have that type of repercussions thereafter coming thereafter. You will find childhood delinquencies. You will find rocky marriages. You will find women being bashed and abused. You will find that from 10 children, at least 3 or 4 children will be of illegitimate product. So all these type of problems you will have, then there is the need to counsel all this. So where this all started off from, that where you would fail to recognize polygamous marriages, and you recognize that, then the man who saw the need for it, then he would practice it. Now that you had opened the doors of prostitution, etc., people that were absolutely innocent otherwise, they also began to become inclined towards this. This is an easy escape route. So they who remained innocent and who led chaste lives, now they go into unchastity, they go into illicit relationship, and then all the problems that come out of this type of illicit relationship. So the law that Allah Ta'ala has instituted and the law that Allah Ta'ala has declared, that has to be respected, it has to be honored. When it's respected and honored, then you see 50 years ago, when all these things were not heard about, then you would hardly hear of divorces, you would hardly hear of broken homes, broken marriages, rocky marriages, childhood delinquency, women being abused and bashed. You would hardly hear about all these things. But when you did away with all this, then you had to have a whole institute for counseling women, bashed children, and women counseling them, and then a whole host of problems that goes with that. As for the Anbiya alayhi salam, they had followed the natural route, and nearly every Nabi that we hear of, entered into nikah, and they had many women. Dawood alayhi salam, you hear of over 100 wives he had. Similar with the other Anbiya, even Ibrahim alayhi salam married more than one woman. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had, at any given time approximately, he had about nine wives towards the ending of his life. And he only began to marry the second woman after he was about 55. Because in Makkah Mukarramah it was just Khadija radiyallahu anha, and then her Sauda was in his nikah after Khadija. Then only around the second year of the Hijrat, Nabi Aisha had entered the nikah of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, had entered the marital home when he was approximately 55. So this was just approximately 7 or 8 years before he could leave the world. Perhaps Allah Ta'ala had already indicated that this department of deen has to be accomplished. In other words, a marital home, how should it run? Domestic problems, how they should be ironed out? Women's personal rules and laws, and the directives regarding women's personal laws and rules, all that had to be all cleared out. So the Nabi's time was very short, and in this short time, all this knowledge had to be passed on, because this is an important sector of human life. So how is this going to be complete if there's going to be just one woman? You need different women who could handle all this, so that the ta'aleem and the ilm of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that was passed on to the ummah may be perfected, may be complete. So as Aisha, as Sauda, as Umm Habiba, as Umm Salima radiyallahu anha, as Juwayriya, as Safiya, as Maymuna radiyallahu anha, as Zainab bint Jahsh, Zainab bint Khuzaymah, all they came into the marriage after this 55 years of his life. Perhaps he was signaled by then that your time is very close, and this sector of human life has to be complete. It was so important for him to get married. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha herself had passed on approximately 2,200 some odd hadith to the ummah. Many, many Sahaba ikram, Tabi'een would refer to her, hundreds of them would refer to Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha in deeni and important matters. Then Umm Salima radiallahu anha was one of those wives that had entered into the marital home with children. Now, how do you take care of stepchildren? What type of love and what type of affection you would show them? So, Hazrat Amr ibn Abi Salima radiallahu anhu, who is the son of Hazrat Umm Salima, he says that I remember the love and the affection Nabi Sam had shown towards us. He would join us in his meals, would eat with him, and he saw that I was very young, and he would correct me, put the right type of values in me, that I can be honored thereafter. The child is got some discipline, some direction, he is honored and he is respected thereafter. So Nabi Sam called him with kindness and with compassion, said, eat with me, and eat with your right, and eat from in front of you, and say Bismillah before eating. Then you find Hazrat Juwayriya radiallahu anha, and she entered the nikah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam around the 6th or the 7th year of the Hijrah. And Hazrat Aisha there says that Ma a'lamu imra'atan a'zamu barakatan minha. I don't know of a woman that had greater barakat than Hazrat Juwayriya radiallahu anha. At the time that she had entered the marital home, then hundreds of her people were enslaved. So just upon the marriage, all these people that were taken as slaves were all freed, because they felt very uncomfortable that if this woman is in the nikah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then how can we take her people as slaves? So they felt very embarrassed about this, and this was like an emotional card that was played out, and it was a catalyst for hundreds of women and hundreds of people to be freed. Then you find Umm Habiba radiallahu anha, the daughter of Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu. Until that time, he was the leader of the opposition, leader of the opposition to Islam, trying his best to exterminate and wipe out Islam. With Umm Habiba radiallahu anha coming into the nikah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Abu Sufyan began to look at Islam differently. It had a great and tremendous impact upon him, and he began to look at Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam with respect. All that hurt, all that ill feeling towards Islam and reservation towards Islam, all had left his heart and mind, and now the way to Islam had opened out for him, and therefore he declared, "Fahlu la yujda'u anfuhu," that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not a man that can be disgraced and humiliated. So these were amongst some of the reasons when Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam had taken more than one wife, what an important sector he had accomplished through this agency of nikah. But in all this, Allah Ta'ala warns us that if you are afraid, you are not sure that you will do justice with them, then just take one woman, don't exceed this one. Many a times a person is taking more not because of need but because of greed. As a result, when he's taking more than one because of greed, then he's not dealing with them justly, and then you find a whole host of problems. So Allah Ta'ala says, then do this, be sure that you are practicing justice with regards to the distribution of your time, your affection and your wealth. Then there will be no problems. ذَلِكَ أَدْنَا أَلَّا تَعُولُ. This is more suitable for you to prevent you from injustice.